the Mississippi Crop Situation Podcast.
Hey guys, this is Bobby Golden back with you again with Dr. Jason Bond. And we're sitting here at about 7:30 on a Monday morning, and it's been your typical Monday morning. You know, we got up here, was going to start the day, then the thunder came.
Yeah, I had about 80 things on my to-do list, and I'm walking across the yard to get my truck the first time it thundered, and kind of went to pot after that.
Yeah, and I think, you know, looking out the window right now, we got a couple pop-up showers, and it's not really a set-in rain, but it's just a little bit here and there. And
it's basically wet enough to keep you from doing anything outside right now.
Or as my granddaddy would say, just enough to piss you off.
Yeah, well, that too.
So, you know, got a lot of phone calls this weekend, so we decided to jump right in here Monday morning and try to take care of that. A lot of phone calls about tolerance of Loyant on varieties. We've got a pretty good amount of data on that, and we'll let Jason kind of start off with just giving us a feel for why do we do tolerance work on varieties, and what does crop injury mean in the grand scheme of weed science?
All right. Well, before I go into some of the work that we've done previously, I will say that, you know, thinking about the work that we've done on herbicide tolerance, and we've done a lot, you know, with different herbicides as they've come out over the years, but we've probably done as many studies with rice variety tolerance to Loyant as we've done with any other herbicide. So thinking about herbicide tolerance in rice varieties, it's generally accepted that medium grain varieties tend to be less tolerant than long grain varieties, just as a rule of thumb. If you look back over the research that's been done with different herbicides, that's kind of a pattern that's developed.
And when we're talking about that, we're talking about to mid-south medium grain varieties,
yeah,
or medium grain varieties
about Bengal,
as a whole?
Jupiter, those medium grain varieties, yeah, not the ones that, you know, you would be expect to grow in California,
where most of the medium grain acreages.
Correct. Okay. Yeah, the traditional, you know, South Louisiana, North Arkansas, some Mississippi, you know, medium grain stuff. And then as the hybrids came on the market, when we were testing herbicide tolerance, the hybrids tended to fall in line with the medium grains. So was in order of tolerance, for the most part, was long grains and then medium grains and hybrids. And then you have a blurb every once in a while with short grains. I know we did some work with Grasp, and we had P-Rogue in there, which was a short grain variety from LSU. And it, you know, there wasn't any difference in tolerance among the varieties with Grasp to start with, so the short grain didn't stand out there.
But when, you know, we're generally talking about tolerance on our rice varieties, at least for Mississippi, we're going to be more concerned about our long grains and primarily, you know, the hybrids and Clearfield varieties, I would suspect, since they garner most of our acreage.
Yeah, for sure. So if you look at the stuff that we did years ago with Beyond, when Beyond first got even before it had a full Section 3 label, when it was a 24C label for those salvage applications in Clearfield rice, you know, since, you know, that was like 2006 and 7, maybe 7 and 8. And since that time, we've had a sentence in our weed control guide about the fact that CLXL 745 is less tolerant to Beyond than some of the other hybrids that were on the market at the time. So,
and you know, when you hear those guys out in the real world, those consultants and producers that are walking fields every day, we generally think of 745 as a variety that if something's going to have some type of injury, it's going to occur on that variety.
Well, the yield potential with that one is just off the charts, man. I mean, it's been on the market. I don't know that they've had a hybrid that's been on the market as long as 745 has. I know they had, you know, some of those early ones were around for a while, and then XL723, they sold it for a number of years. But I mean, 745, it's been 10 or 12 years that it's been rocking along, and it just has a world of potential. But along with that, you know, if things go wrong, particularly in the arena of herbicide tolerance, they can go pretty wrong.
So what you're really telling me is 745 might not be any less tolerant than other varieties. There's just an awful lot of acreage out there that gets application on it.
Well, the law of averages plays into it for sure. You know, we see that with some other things, you know, years where we have a lot of rainfall at the wrong time with pre-herbicide injury on soybeans. Some of the treatments that get a bad name for that, a lot of times it's just because that treatment's on more acres.
I agree. So let's take it back today, okay? So most of those calls were centered around Loyant. You give us a little primer on that. Know we've done some work, multiple years of data on multiple varieties. So, you know, let's start there with the varieties that we have multiple years of data on and see what your data suggests.
Okay, so we have, with six varieties, we have 3 years of data on, which in any kind of research, that's a good, you know, robust data set that we have for those. So we have multiple years of data on CL163, CLXL745, Rex, Jupiter, Caffy, and CL151. So we have two inbred clear fields. We have two medium grains, which are the Caffy and Jupiter. And the reason the Caffy and Jupiter are in there, because we started this in 2015, and we were kind of coming out of a couple-year period where there was some interest in medium grains. And so then those have kind of gone by the wayside now in our research. And then we had the CLXL745, which, again, has been a mainstay.
And probably one of our greatest planted varieties on most acres in Mississippi.
Yeah, for sure. And then we have, you know, in 2017, we had 1 year of data. We replaced those medium grains with CL111. And then with the new Rice Tech 7311 Clearfield hybrid, and then in a separate study, we had some Presidio, which I don't know as much about those as you might, so you might tell folks what those varieties are.
Well, you know, the new RT7311 CL is, I think, poised to probably take a lot of those 745 acres moving into the future. I won't say that it's a replacement for 745, but I think it's going to be end up replacing 745 as it gets phased off the market. Presidio is high-quality rice used in the food industry, very similar to Sabine or Hidalgo. We plant, you know, probably more Sabine in Mississippi than Presidio or Hidalgo. Then some Hidalgo and maybe very, very little Presidio. But, you know, when you're talking about in the context of those specialty type varieties,
It's representative. Yeah. So thinking about herbicide tolerance, you know, what you learn in school in your weed science class is that with a herbicide, you want to have weed control at a half X rate and you want to have good crop tolerance to a 2X rate. So when we screen varieties for herbicide tolerance, we generally screen them with a non-treated for the variety and then a paired plot that's treated with twice the labeled rate. All right. In the work with Loyant, working with the company, the way they wanted to do it, they wanted to do two applications. And so our worst case scenario in this research was a 2X rate, so twice the labeled rate, and then two applications.
So that's really hot.
Yeah, we're off the charts as far as the...
Not even close to a labeled application.
Well, true. I mean, the label allows two applications, and then, of course, we're twice the labeled rate. So definitely way high for what we would normally expect. But then if we get good tolerance with that, you know, then you expect...
We're going to have clean crop, injury.
Yeah, we're going to have good. Yeah, we're going to have good performance in the field.
Don't have to worry about overlaps.
Right, yeah. Right. And the overlaps, you know, that's where when you're screening twice the labeled rate, you know, that's really what you've got in mind because you're going to have overlaps. I mean, with ground applications now and with our aerial applications too, you know, with swath control, you know, we're a lot more precise than we have been in years past, but we still get overlaps.
It's amazing what RTK has brought to the table with all of our applications.
Oh, yeah, the efficiency and precision is just tremendous now.
You always hear guys out there saying, man, I can paint a line with that sprayer. Well, you might. Used to could not, but now you, I think you really can if you can put it on the ground.
Yeah. Yeah. And save a lot of, you know, save money on their herbicide costs too, because they minimize those overlaps. So what we've seen is good tolerance, basically, of that group of varieties that I listed off previously. Good tolerance among all of those. The injury that you see with Loyant, all right, so Loyant's a group 4 herbicide. Which is an auxin herbicide. So it falls into the same family of rice herbicides as Facet and Grandstand, but then also 2,4-D and Dicamba. So those are hormones, and you know, you put a hormone in a plant, and it doesn't always look the same. For example, you take something, you know, a herbicide like Sharpen, and you spray it on rice, you know, 3, 4, 5 times, and you're going to get the same symptom pretty much every single application on the crop and on the weeds. But with a growth regulator, with one application, you may see more, you know, symptomology on the leaves, and at other times you may see more symptomology on the crown of the plant.
So, Jason, correct me if I'm wrong, but what we're really seeing out of Loyant on these varieties is a leaf-type injury of just that onion leaf and slight rolling type issues.
That's right, Bobby. I haven't seen a symptom that wasn't, you know, a foliar symptom. You know, we've looked at the crown. I don't really see any swelling or anything like that on the crown. No root symptomology. And oftentimes, the leaf symptomology, you really need that non-treated with that variety to even see it. So, for instance, if you treat an entire field with it, you don't have the luxury of having a non-treated like we do in our small plots, so you might not even really notice it's there if it's a low level of injury. Now, when we've done these high rates, multiple applications, you know, you see a significant amount of rolling, and that's pretty obvious. But again, those applications are way off the charts from what a normal rate would be in the field.
Okay. But, you know, really, when we talk about that injury potential, there's been a lot of applications go out, but we've only had a few calls actually saying, man, I saw something on my rice. I know I got one. I know you got one. It's been pretty much limited to that, hadn't it?
Definitely. The one call that I had was on 7311, which I mentioned earlier. Our data last year, we didn't see a single problem with 7311, even with those really high rates, basically zero injury. In the field, it responded some. We had some rolled leaves. But by the time we got to the field, it had been on for over 2 weeks. And you could definitely tell that there had been a response, but you could also tell that rice was rapidly growing out of those symptoms.
And I think that's very similar to the call that I've got about 7:53, where it's just a slight little rolled up leaf. And then once we had that water set on and it started taking up that pre-flood nitrogen, within, you know, 6-7 days, it started growing out and everything looks fine today.
Yeah, but this, again, it's a new herbicide. And I say this often, we can't do enough plot work to simulate everything that can happen when we start making commercial applications of new products. So for sure, those of you listening, you know, if you've had some Loyant out or you've got some going out and you see something that is, you know, different than what we've talked about here or what we've talked about, you know, at meetings last winter, for sure, let us know, because we'd love to come see it and work through it with you.
You know, Saturday around, oh, I guess about lunchtime Saturday, I got a call from a guy that said, you know, I've put it out on a lot of acres of Sabine, and we haven't seen anything. And you would think that Sabine would be very similar to the medium grains because those are not big, robust varieties. So if we're safe on a variety, specialty variety like Sabine, we shouldn't have too many problems out in the world.
Yeah, I think that variety tolerance is good. And once we get a comfort level with using the product, I don't think we're going to look back in that arena.
So you pretty much feel like we're just still in first year jitters.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, guys, I guess that's about what we had for you this morning. We're about to get on the road and go look at some sicker ice up around Marks. But one thing I would like to relay to everyone is we have set our field day. We're still trying to get the details all worked out. But the field day, Rice field day, will be August the 2nd. Time to be announced later. But it'll be here at Stoneville, and we'll have a plot tour and a reception afterwards like we've had the last several years.
Good deal, Bobby. Well, that's all I've got. Appreciate everybody listening, and I hope everybody has a good week.
Hey, guys, if y'all got any problems, just give us a shout. We'll get there as fast as we can.
The Mississippi Crop Situation Podcast is produced by the Mississippi State University Extension Service.